are based on cumulative considerations. And in fact, another issue that was, I thought, established. I thought, oh, we're always looking on a cumulative basis. Well, apparently there's a question as to whether or not we should be making quarter-to-quarter assessments or cumulative assessments. This is a question that's on the discussion again for Thursday's meeting. So things that I thought were established might not be. As far as this cumulative stuff, I just thought I'd show you something that's directly out of the book. I think this is paragraph 43, if I'm not mistaken. Basically, I just want to show you that this processing is clearly system dependent. The idea that you're just going to do this on the back of an envelope is pretty ludicrous, really. So in reading this, we're looking at five different periods, and the first column is the derivative single period price change, and the second period is the cumulative change. So just make sure you can accommodate those numbers clearly. 100 in the first and then 94 in the second gives me the 194 in the cumulative change column. And we're looking at an analogous set of changes period by period and cumulatively for the exposure. And you'll see that by and large they're nearly equal and opposite. So things look like they're working reasonably well, kind of on the face of it. The assessment about what's effective and therefore what's deferrable in a cash flow hedge is an asymmetric assessment. We only show an income effect if the derivative gain or loss is excessive. That is, if the derivative effect is larger than the hedged item effect. So, or another way of saying it, we look to the cumulative columns and we're constrained as far as what we can defer to the smaller effect. So it should be clear that I've eliminated the signs here, but in magnitude 96 is the relevant constraint. And that means we can defer 96 bucks out of the $100 change in our derivative, and therefore what's left over, the $4, has to go to current earnings. When we get to the second period, everybody, any problems so far? Second period, we again are constrained by the lesser of the cumulatives. This time we're looking at a magnitude of 194. So we get to defer whatever it takes to bring us to 194 in the OCI. Well, we had 96, so we're allowed to defer 98. But notice, we only made 94 that period. So there's an adjustment where we've got to back out that 4 on the income. So it's a little tricky in a given quarter where the derivative only generates a 94 effect. You're actually having a catch-up in deferring greater than what you generated that period. But you can get to see that this could get confusing if you're not paying close attention to it. Okay, well, as far as measuring effectiveness, it is especially, well, measuring effectiveness when you're dealing with a single period event, like, you know, a single forward contract as an example, or even an option, assuming you've elected to not assess the right components and all. With a single period, it's not so hard. But multiple interest rate exposures are tricky. And there's a bunch of things when we talk about fixed multiple.